Amen, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And God, we give this time to you, and we just pray for your protection, your healing, and your encouragement in all things. And God, I pray you just open our minds to just understand all the things about we have to say about the family, Lord, and be our teacher, and we thank you for that. And so, Lord, I want to give you this time, and I do pray, God, that you just anoint me with the Spirit, and I just speak things of the Spirit, and I just pray each heart would be open to receive things of the Spirit. And so we look to you, and we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're doing a series, I guess you would call it a series, on marriage, and this is the third one, and the first one, you know, was the title was Day of the Lord. Okay, now there really is how it transitions from Day of the Lord to the family, and I think it's important, you know, for you to look at that. And then the second message was supposed to be. This is how God created it. This is what it's supposed to be. And so this morning we're going to look at it and then title the message Hardwired. Okay, Hardwired. So we are hardwired for certain things. And at the beginning of each session, I'm going to read this summary because I think this is what we're looking at in capsule form. And the point number one, we have an overhead here. Point number one, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Number two, a healthy marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Number three, a healthy marriage relationship will teach healthy lifelong values to children. And number four, which I have as number three, but it's number four, is sin messes up everything. Sin messes up everything. So the verse we're going to look at in the title of the message, Hardwired, meaning that we have certain built-in personality traits. There's something is built in to us. And I want us to look at Psalms 139, verse 15. Psalms 139, verse 15 through 16, but let me read those to you. Psalms 139, 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Okay? Now the next verse, Psalms 139, 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So what it's saying here, and it's kind of a paraphrase, if you will, at conception, when we were barely even a physical being in the womb, the Lord is weaving us together from the undeveloped embryo for a purpose. Okay? So it's like conception. Then the Lord starts forming the physical body, but He is working within us. He is working within us at the very beginning, within that embryo, to be who we are. And I like how it says, you know, it says, in the hidden place, you don't see it, and we're being woven, intricately woven together. You know, so a child comes in, they're intricately woven together. So, as we're looking at the family, it's good to understand all these things because they manifest themselves in the family. And so we see at conception, God placed in our children, personality traits. That means we come into this world hardwired. We come into the world hardwired. Now, we can experience events that have positive and negative impacts on us, all right? However, this verse says that our basic personality is established in the womb. God is creating a people in His image to reflect His full being. Okay, now you can see why believers, as we look at life and we look at what God's done, how important it is when we see this happening at conception, that God's beginning this work that's happening together for a purpose, and His hand is on it. And two, when you put the statement in there that we're going to come out, and I use the term hardwired, but there's things about us that God has created, you know, man and woman in His own image, but we come out, we're going to reflect that image that He has woven into us, all right? We just don't come in like, well, we'll have the, and I'm being facetious, but I want to draw home the point. You know, it's like, well, we have this baby. I hope it doesn't grow up to be a squirrel, you know, all right? Or I have this baby, and I hope it doesn't grow up to be, no, it's wired. It's wired to be a human being. It's wired to be a man or a woman. And it's wired, the baby is wired to reflect God, right? And you can see it when you get in, a normal situation. A baby comes into this world and everybody's like, wow. It's like amazing, you know. And so this is God giving us insight to what's happening beforehand. What's happening beforehand as the baby is born. So personality traits that are hardwired within a child. Now, and I can tell anybody who has children, okay, they didn't come out the same, did they? I don't care how hard you try, they didn't come out the same. All right? Why? Because they're hardwired. They're hardwired. They came out, God produced them, intricately wove them together, and they came out as an individual. All right? And they're different, okay? So where do these traits come from? You know, it's just a roll of a dice, and, you know, golly, it, you know, came out snake eyes. They're going to act like a squirrel. Okay. No, they are intricately woven. They're going to act like an incredible human being that's wired at conception. Okay, it's manifest at birth. Actually, I could talk to you, some of you ladies would say, you know, I think it was manifest while I was carrying them. Man, first baby was just so, didn't he hardly know I was pregnant? And then it's the second baby, it's like they never sleep. They don't ever sleep. It's just all night long. I'm moaning. It's like, what's going on? See, they're different. They're different. God's making something different. So personality traits, how a child is made up, is something that reflects the Creator. Now, the Creator has all the personality traits, and He uses them in appropriately as the occasion occurs. So God's got all the personality traits, you know, and then therefore He functions out of the fullness of the way it's supposed to do. He makes them work together. God didn't create a trait He didn't have, right? What He created is something that was in Him that He wanted to reflect in the human race. See, so that's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. It comes from the Creator. So it all comes with our mind and our view of the Creator. We're created in His image. Then therefore, the ways we function in the perfection is we function the way He wants us to, with that type of traits. Okay? Do you see that? We didn't get a trait that was like independent of the human race. Right? That's not how we came. No, we get a trait that's reflecting Him. Now, to identify these traits and by the way, goes beyond, this is the human race. This is the human race, okay? Believers, unbelievers, these traits are built in to these at conception that reflects itself in the population. Now, what we have done is we have been able to identify, and I'm sure all of you professionally or anything have taken personality tests. And that's a fairly recent, I didn't realize how recent that was, okay, that really where this started happening. They really looked at this and they identified it. It's fairly recent, like in the early 90s. I didn't realize that, and that makes me and Linda feel better. We didn't know nothing, but there's a reason we didn't know nothing. They weren't telling us nothing, okay? So anyway, when our son was born, they couldn't tell you what gender he was. It's like, what? We didn't know what's going on. Everybody's here, you're seeing all these pictures of these babies. I'm like, you're kidding me. We didn't have a clue. But we was pretty sure that, I was pretty sure that Linda was going to give birth to a human baby, okay? And it has traits, okay? It had traits. It's amazing, it's amazing how that works. Well, so what we've done now, the human race, and they have given you these tests, and they can identify these traits. There's a consistency. And they will tell you, the world will tell you, there is a consistency the way people behave. You can almost predict
way people behave. In fact, I took one of these tests one time, and I remember going through, and it identified a particular thing about myself that I just thought of myself. I thought it was really unique, that nobody else had it, nobody else understood. And I saw it on this test. I said, wow, that's just like me. I went, wait a minute. How'd they know? Well, they shouldn't know that. Nobody knows that but me, and I wasn't sure about it. How'd they know? You know? And now I was really irritated, like, you mean there's somebody else like me? You know? What? But see, that's what they've done. And so it's good. So what happened is they have identified these traits. And so it's an interesting study. But again, they reflect the image of God. See, that's what they do. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to just summarize. I'm going to use the, and I've done this before, use the DISC model that identifies traits. And it's been well researched, and it's considered an excellent human resource. So the DISC model that identifies basically four human personality traits. And I want to go over those, and I want to just kind of glance out. Now, the whole idea of where I'm going with this is marriage, okay? Your personality married another personality, just to let you know. Okay, that's the reason we're going to go over this. So, and this is a summary. It's not meant to cover everything, but it's just to highlight so we can have some understanding. So, the D in the DISC, which they identify these four main traits, okay? D is dominance. Dominance, okay? So, and I have that on overhead. You can look at this and follow me through. I want to go through these quickly. D is dominance. And this person places emphasis on results, okay? Get it done, okay? Results, okay? They are practical, productive. Look at the bottom line, all right? Human negative, really domineering, okay? They can be domineering. Okay, now I, from the DISC, I is influence. This person places influence on, places emphasis on influencing, connecting with people. And they are outgoing, enthusiastic, and they lack a freedom from control and details, okay? Don't just people, not what I'm doing, it's who I'm doing it with, you know, okay? The next one is S, and it's steadiness, steadiness. Now, this person emphasizes, is the emphasis is on cooperation. On cooperation, really important to them. They are dependable, easygoing, loyal. Human negative, unmotivated, unmotivated. Oh, I forgot to say the human negative on the I, the person of influence, the outgoing, enthusiastic person. Their human negative is they're impulsive, impulsive. You know what I mean? And what I mean by impulsive, if you ever see a kid and you say, okay, children, I will have a question for you. Such and such, who has the answer? And they'll go, first, impulsive. And then ask them, what is it? They don't know. They don't know what the answer was. That wasn't the issue. The facts weren't the issue. The facts was to be enthusiastic about the issue. You know, say, oh. So anyway, they can be impulsive. They can be impulsive. The Apostle Peter was impulsive. They're in the boat fishing, and they say, Jesus is on the shore. He's, oh, wow. He jumps in the water, swims over, and sees Jesus sitting there dripping wet. Rest, I'm coming in the boat. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what. So, steadiness. So we see that. But steadiness, some good characteristics there. They're all good characteristics, by the way. But they can be unmotivated. S can be unmotivated. Now, C is conscientious. This person places emphasis on quality and accuracy. You know, if you ever get in an operation and the doctor's there, you want him as a C. You don't want him as an I. He's high-fiving all the nurses. No, the C is going to focus on, okay, quality and accuracy. But focus, buddy. You know, you see. Okay, so a C is conscientious. And they are analytical, perfectionist, dislikes sudden changes. Dislikes sudden changes. Human negative, indecisive. I mean, they never quit getting facts. They just get facts and facts, and they just don't make a decision. But they want all the facts. See? So the negative, they can be indecisive. Now, so what I want to talk about, kind of getting the meat of it, so we're all good together. Okay, and this is generality. Just give us a feel of what's going on. These personality traits can create some interesting human relationships and marriages. Can you imagine? Interesting human relationships and marriages. Now, I don't have any overheads for this, so y'all can just play along with me, and hopefully I can tell you a few stories to keep you interested. But, okay, so let's say, okay, a D marries an S. Okay? We have Mr. Productive marrying Miss Cooperation. Okay? So one focusing on producing and the other is focusing on cooperation can create tension. Amen? You can see. There's a clash, you know, because where the focus is. Now, I'm going to give you an example here. It's not a marriage example, but it's a perfect application of these two qualities, a D marrying an S. And what we have here is we have the Apostle Paul, and most theologians agree that he is a D. He is a D. You look at the D, and then you start reading some of the stuff. He acts like a D. He really does. You know, that's his personality. Well, he teams up for a missions trip. He teams up for a missions trip with Barnabas. With Barnabas. And Barnabas is an S. Mr. Cooperation. You know, so they team up. Okay, that's good. Two different personalities going. They're going on a missions trip. Now, let me give you a verse for Paul. Now, this was Paul, and sometimes you can see our personality best with our negatives. Okay, you know, sometimes we're, well, nah, that's who. But here's Paul before he was saved. Okay, the D, domineering. Here's Paul before he was saved in Acts 9:1. Paul, he was still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. That's a D. Breathing out murders and threats against the disciples of the Lord. Now, what we have, praise God, Paul got saved. Hallelujah. He received Jesus, and so, born again, all right? Well, still nobody's talking to him. I mean, still nobody wants to have anything to do with Paul. Okay, so he's not associated with the rest of the apostles. All right, because they're going, nah, this guy, no, I knew this guy. No, you know, he can stay all night at your house. I don't want him, you know. So, I mean, that's kind of, so Paul was kind of an outcast. So, who would go and embrace Paul and bring him into the fold? Barnabas, Mr. Cooperation, you know. So, here we have in Acts 9:27, but Barnabas and his name, by the way, Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. I mean, what better name? You're Mr. Cooperation, they name you son of encouragement. You know, so here, that's Barnabas, son of encouragement. So he took Paul and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord. Can you see it? Come on, guys, listen. Give this guy a shot. He's seen Jesus. He's not the same guy. So this is Barnabas. The rest of them are going, uh-uh. And Peter was in this mix. Peter's going, uh-uh. You know? See, so it's Barnabas. He brings him in. Mr. Encouragement brings Paul into this where he'll be accepted. Now, Paul and Barnabas go on this mission trip. In fact, a lot of Acts covers Paul and Barnabas's mission trips. A lot of the things we get about a church is from Paul and Barnabas on their mission trip. So they go on this mission trip, they come back, and they tell everybody great things that are going. Okay, and they take this guy with him. His name's Mark. Ever heard of Mark? He wrote the Gospel of Mark. He's a young guy. So they take, hey, let's make Mark with us. Okay, we'll take Mark. Well, Mark goes, and he quits them. Starts out and then he goes home. You know, so they finish the whole first missionary journey without Mark because he just went back. So now they're ready to go on the second missionary journey. You know, hallelujah, get together. Barnabas wants to bring Mark. Now, doesn't that make sense? Why would Barnabas want to bring Mark? Mr. Encouragement. Little unity. You know, live and let live, you know. So he wants to bring Mark. Acts 15, 38. So they're going on their second missions trip, Barnabas and Paul. The productive Paul, this is from the verse, I put in productive, but the productive Paul thought it best not to take Mark with them, because he had withdrawn from them, and he had not gone with them to finish the work. Paul's going, kid ain't productive. Ain't he? He's not productive. Not coming with me. We know. What's Mr. Encouragement Cooperation going to do? Barnabas S. Acts 15:39. And there arose a sharp disagreement between Barnabas and Paul, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas, seeking cooperation, took Mark, who wasn't productive, with him, and they went to Cyprus. No, you ain't doing this to Mark. I'm taking it. You're wrong. They split. So you didn't know about the second missionary. A lot of people in theology talk about the second missionary journey that Paul took. That's how it started. Barnabas, no, he took Mark and went someplace else, and then Paul went like that. So, what's the lesson here? I mean, right here in front of our eyes, you know, is there's a lesson here that personality differences can cause issues between the godliest of people. How can you disagree in the church? They've been disagreeing in the church forever. Okay, the idea is to work through it. Not that you not disagree. They disagree. I mean, anybody here want to raise hands and say, I'm more godly than Paul, or I'm more godly than Barnabas? No. They had a sharp disagreement and separated. People go, I want to go back to the early church. I don't know. Some of it wasn't that hot. You see what I'm saying? All right. So here we are. But now, however, what do we want to do? We want to be able to learn to work together and work through these issues. Amen? So that's why we try to understand it. And that's just what Paul, Barnabas, and Mark needed to learn to work together. Amen? Now here is a very interesting verse. In the very last book, in fact, chapter 4 of the last book Paul ever wrote, he saw the need for Mark. That's something? He sees the need for Mark. 2 Timothy 4:11 says this. He's writing this letter. He ends it with this. Paul says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for me for the ministry. Amen? So they worked it out. So there's huge lessons here. Huge lessons for marriage. All right. Well, I'm married, love of my life, and we'll never have an argument. Wow. You know, not going to happen. Not going to happen. See, it's just not going to happen. Because the difference, and they're going to cause tension, but the point of it is you'll be able to work through those tensions. Now, I'm not sure who was right on this, is Barnabas or Paul. Because, I mean, Barnabas got upset at Paul. He leaves, you know, and Paul says, well, he's going. And so it doesn't really tell who. But now Paul's going back, and he's, okay, I need Mark. Be sure and tell Mark, I need him. Which is also a lesson that, you know, we need each other, and we need to work through this stuff. Amen? So here's a good picture of that. And that also in marriages, that's what happens. Same thing happens in marriages. See? Now, y'all with me? Okay, that's a D and an S. That's personalities. Those are personalities coming out there. Now, you can say, wait a minute, that's not personality. Mark quit. Yeah, he did, but how'd they handle it? That's where the personalities came out. See? Anyway, okay, well, let's do another one. C marries an I. Good? That one good? Okay. A C, okay. So you have a C here. The perfectionist marries the freedom from details. Amen. That happens. See? The perfectionist marries the freedom from details. They just come in and they go, oh, you know, this guy, he's over, he's a C, he's like an accountant, everything's in order, everything's perfect, his life is just, nothing's out of order, you know, just nothing. And he has like no fun in his life. And then you got over here, Miss I comes in. She is just life of the party, bubbling. Everybody likes her. Everybody loves her and like that. And her life is a total wreck. I mean, she can't find her car keys. She can't find her clothes. She can't find, I mean, it's just a total wreck. But she is fine if she ever gets there. And so here you have Mr. Dull, everything in order. He goes, what a refreshing young lady. What a blessing. Oh, that is just so attractive. Miss I totally can't find anything. You know, looks over and says, look at him. Everything is ordered. His whole life is in order. That is just so attractive. Nothing in my life is in order. That is so attractive. You hear that? They're attracted to each other. They're attracted to each other. And they stay attracted to each other until they say, I do. Then all of a sudden, Miss I, she comes home. She kicks her shoes off the middle of the floor, throws her coat over the couch, and just goes in and fixes her something to eat. Mr. C, everything in order, is about to have heart failure. This can't happen. I mean, the whole world's going, you can't do this. And now there's a clash. She said, what's your problem? He goes, but no, it has to be here. I'll get it after a while. What's your issue? See, can you see tension? Can you see tension developing? All of a sudden, they're not as attractive to each other as they were before. Or take it like this. We'll just stay on this one for a while. Mr. C, everything in order, okay, we're going to go on vacation. Okay, and here's where we're going to go. He gets his map out. He traces the route with magic marker. Like that. And he X's off every place where they're going to get gas, X's off every place where they're going to eat, and X's and gets exactly how much money they're going to have and the boundaries in which we have to, you know, stay within in our vacation. He's happy. She looks at this and says, that's not a vacation. That's a death march. What? You go by yourself. Just go by yourself. Now, in this one in particular, you laugh at it. I actually dealt with a couple with that, exactly what it was. And that's what she called it. That I wasn't a unique, she called it that. Going with a vacation with him is like going on a death march. So, but, I mean, they liked each other in the beginning, didn't they? I mean, they were really, they're not happy with each other. But what are they unhappy with? They're unhappy with the other person's personality. That's what they're unhappy with. You know, what attracted them is now causing them the clash. The clash. All right. So anyway, that gives you kind of feel for how that can happen. How about this one? An S marries a C. Now we'll do the negative traits on this one. Negative traits. Okay, the negative trait is the S is unmotivated and the C is indecisive. Okay? This couple's on welfare. I mean, nothing gonna happen. It's just not happening. You know, you want to come over to dinner? I don't know. Why are you doing that? I don't know. You make a decision. I'm not making a decision. You got all of it. You make a decision. After a while, you just have to hang up with them. They won't even hang up. It's like, gosh. You know, and 3 hours later, said, you hang up? I said, yeah, 3 hours ago, but they didn't know it. You know, they're still trying to decide. You see what I'm saying? So that can, you know, it starts off good, but it doesn't end up very good. Okay, let's say, a D, Mr. Productive, bottom line, marries a C, perfectionist. Okay, bottom line, marries the perfectionist. I want the bottom line. No, we got to have, it's got to be right. The danger here is homicide. I mean, it really is. It's like, oh, man. Okay, how about this one? The S marries the I. Okay, the S marries the guy. So here you got Mr. Easygoing marries Miss Enthusiastic. Okay? And it's like after a few years, Miss Enthusiastic tells Mr. Easygoing that he is as dull as watching grass grow. It's just like, you don't do nothing. You do nothing. Come on. Go someplace. Do something. Well, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? You know, he's like, geez. Amen? Linda's smiling at me too big. Too big, Miss I. Okay, so what we have here. Now, again, I hope you the point of it is that what we were looking at, if we start looking at the things like this, we see the spouse is a total aberration. That's the way we look at it. I mean, we're attracted in the beginning for obvious reasons. But as time goes on, it loses that attraction, you know, if that's all we have to go on. So it becomes an aberration. Like my wife, my husband, they're just not cutting it. They're not cutting it. Now, did they change? No, they didn't change one iota. They've always been that way. You know, you just didn't know what's going on. Now you figured it out, okay? Too late, okay? You're like 10 years too late on this. Now, so, I'm going to give you the definition of aberration. I know you know the definition of aberration, but it's just funny when you read the detail of aberration, how you would look at your spouse as an aberration. An aberration is a departure from what is normal. Now, who established who was normal? You did. You established it. See? So, it's a departure from what is normal, what is usual, what is expected. Who established what is expected? You did. Who established what is usual? You did. Whose fault is it? His. It's his fault. He should have known what I expected. You know, he should have known what's normal. And it sure isn't you. You know, and then it goes on to say, and these, when you say something's not normal, it's really not welcomed. Not welcome. Okay, now, so what we have here, when we look at this, is that this is personalities. Now, where did the personalities come from? Just pause. Going back to the first part of the message. Where did the personalities come from? God. You're going, no, mine did, but his didn't. And now I'm not all of them. No, they came from God. It's like, well, okay. And they're like, you know, well, which personality reflects God and which one doesn't? Mine reflects God. Theirs doesn't. Right? God wouldn't create anybody like that. Wouldn't do it. It just wouldn't happen. See, and what's so different about it? They're different from you. Why don't they know? Why do they do that? And you know, somebody said, God, they were born that way. See, now, so you have this view, and when you start saying, they're not an apparition, they're created by God, then it's like, maybe I need to try to understand this piece of God I don't understand. Right? And the other person is doing the same thing. Maybe I need to understand this piece of God I don't understand, okay? Because do you think like the sea and I? Okay, that wasn't working out, you know. Conscientious, you know, details like that. I is fun-loving, okay? Well, when you look at that, how do you think God's detailed? I mean, he created the universe. Did a pretty good job. He got the detail. You know, I mean, we're still discovering. Wow, how did that happen? He got the detail. You think he's any fun? Think God's, and that's might be a good, do you think God's easygoing, happy, joyful? How many places in the Bible say, rejoice the Lord always. Rejoice. Worship. Rejoice. God is on the praises. God rises up on the praises of his people. See, he's on it. Do you suppose God could be a D and get something done? I suppose he'd get something done. God is a D, he said, and he went into the money changers, into the temple, and they're selling stuff and cheating people out of money. He just kicks all the tables over and runs them all out. Time to kick the D in. You see, there's a point. There's a place for that. Easy coin, non-threatening. He comes up, the woman of the well. She's talking to Jesus. He said, how are you doing? Why don't you give me a drink? Why are you asking me for a drink? Well, I just, here, I'd like to ask you for a drink. And she says, well, why are you a Jew, asking the Samaritan for a drink? He said, well, no. What's that conversation? And she sucked into this. You know, we think, oh, it was God. He didn't let on God. He was approachable. He was easygoing. And came, that's what it was. What if she came up through the well and Jesus comes, hey, what you doing, gal? Let's go have fun. You know, holy crud. No, there wasn't the time for the eye. You know? It wasn't. But the ass forked right in there. See, so you have this. So all these things, when you look at it, they're good. So what personality was Jesus? Some of them. Reflected God, totally. He was all of them. So if we're just operating, we'll just use this example. If we operate only one, if we operated in only one of these four personalities, okay, we're walking around with a 1/4 view of God. We're missing 3/4 of God. You know, well, if I was God, this is what I would do. And God goes, this is why you're not God. You see what I'm saying? So to have a view of God, you got to look at all pieces from that personality to have an understanding. And he says, okay, I got this guy. What this D needs is an I. You know? See, I used to think, because why would he do that? Because the two of them together would have a greater view of who God was. If they can get along. If they can get along and work on it, they can get a view. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I remember studying this, and I couldn't, I just couldn't believe it. That most of the time, not all the time, there's some exception. Most of the time, opposites attract. The C and the I, the D and the S. Opposites attract. And I remember finding, as a believer, I looked at that and I saw that. I could see it. Opposites attract. And I thought, you know, it must be demonic. It's just demonic. You know, that God, that just Satan does that just so people be miserable, you know. And I'll suffer for Jesus and put up with his eye and have a greater spot in heaven. Nobody thinks that righteous. Linda doesn't think it's righteous at all, by the way. No, God is going, no, what you're telling me is you don't understand 3/4 of what I'm saying because you're not getting more information. You can only, at the best, you can only understand 1/4 of what I'm saying. Amen? So now, so it's coming up. The point is like, oh my gosh. So when we have a spouse, now let me add, I know several people, not many, same personality types marry each other. Okay. They have other differences going on within in that, and that's fascinating to me. But as a general rule, opposites attract, just for the reasons I said. And so when we look at that, opposites attract, therefore, both people are looking at, we're seeing something that the other one doesn't see. Have you ever done this? Read something in the scripture and showed it to your spouse. Look at what God said. And you read it. What do you think? And I said, well, he said this. He didn't say that. That's not what he said. I said, he said, didn't say it. Look, it says this. No, he didn't. Why would you do that? Because a different personality looks at the same truth, and you look at the thing. We need to cooperate. Another guy, we need to produce. See? Well, you need to do them both. You know, you need to produce without killing everybody on your team. All right? You need to cooperate. Without you so cooperating, you never get nothing done. See? So you have to kind of work it out. Does that make sense? And so the two of the one independent doesn't reflect God. The two together reflect more of God. And there's also a verse in the Bible that says, you know, there's wisdom with many counselors. There's wisdom with a few more personality types. You know, There's wisdom with many counselors. Okay. It's not like there's wisdom with more people just like you. Like that. No, so when you start looking at that and you start understanding that in marriage, what you're going to do, your person, how you were hardwired in this world, okay, that drew you together, is going to push you apart. Now, the worst thing you do is try to change the other person. If you tried that, it doesn't work. In fact, I bet you have tried that. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. But what you do, if you can come together and you start clicking together, then all of a sudden you've got a greater view of the universe, you've got a greater view of God, and you've got a greater understanding of the Scripture and what the Scripture is saying. And so therefore you grow together. And that's the reason God calls church family. That's why, you know. And because they bicker and snap around like a family, okay. But together is what's needed to do what God says. Unless one says, I don't need you, listen to me. Then the breakdown comes. See what I'm saying? So it's a challenge. It really is a challenge. And look what happened to Paul and Barnabas. They said they came within sharp rebuke. I mean, they didn't say, okay, whatever, buddy, was never. Then they ticked off. Two different directions. See, so it happens to the best of us. So we need to understand. We need to understand that. But the closest relationship, the most intimate relationship, is marriage. So the marriage is going to see stuff that ain't nobody else seen. Aren't you glad? Okay. But it goes deeper than anything else. Because you're going to a level that you shouldn't go to a level with anyone else. You see what I'm saying? And that's what happens. All right? That's what happens. But also, as you work out things at the depth of that relationship, then you're better equipped to deal with all relationships. You're better equipped to understand better what God's telling you. Amen? Aren't you excited about your spouse's differences? There you go. Thank you, Cynthia. Cynthia. All right. All right. So anyway, we get the idea here. What we need to do, and here's the challenge, what we need to do, appreciate your spouse's differences. It goes both ways. Now, does Mr. Dull, with everything in order, need to loosen up a little bit with Mrs. I? Yeah, he does. I mean, this guy's dull to God. All right? And God said, you dull. Okay? So he needs to loosen up. He needs to break loose a little bit. All right? Do you think Miss I should get something in order here? You know? How many times you been to school and late, you got three kids and you come home with two? You go, wait a minute. Why is having talking to so-and-so? What happened to Janie? You know, what happened to Pete? You know, it's like, she needs to get a little more organized. She does. See, so the two of them together work together. You see what I'm saying? Amen? See, and so that's why, so we're excited about the differences of our spouse. Now, I want just, also, the D-I-S-C, okay, very few people are purely D-I-S-C. Very few. They're a mixture. Your D-I-T-S, your I-C, that doesn't go down, maybe. But you're a mixture, so you can be a mixture of more than one. So what all that is, it's present, it's hard to work, but it tells you how complicated we are. How complicated. It's still hardwired in there, and it's still a personality, but we have different parts of that personality within us. We're not pure D. We're not pure I. We're not pure S's. We're not pure C's. So there's a mixture, and so we need to understand it. And by the way, I can't believe what I'm saying. It really is worthwhile taking these personality tests. It really is. Helps you understand yourself, and it helps you understand your spouse. Because it just tells you what you're wired. Just why. And so it helps you, but it's how you're wired and how to complement that and work together to reflect God. Okay, keep peace in the family, that's good. But as you work together, then you better reflect God. Amen? See, so this is why it's important. It's important to a marriage to know these things, to know these things. Now, also, last week we looked at male and female differences. Personality difference, totally different than male and female difference. Totally different. You have male and female difference, and you've got personality trait. They're different. They don't overlap. They are totally different. So with these total difference in male and female, you have covering over that personality traits. Now we're really complicated. Holy cow. Male and female, and then covered with a personality too, you know. And it's like, what does that mean? It's like, wow, it shows how incredibly unique we are, but it also shows how incredibly complicated we are. Amen? But at the same time, we reflect God. We reflect God. And the two of us in the marriage reflect God better than the one of us in the marriage. Amen? So personality, traits, male and female gender differences, separate. Separate. But they come out in the same person. Amen? You got that? So that's important to know. That's important to know to understand this. Now, first of all, my intention is not to identify somebody's personality. I mean, I didn't cover enough material for this, and I certainly wasn't trying to do that. But my intention was for us to be aware of these differences and appreciate them and embrace them that we can better reflect the fullness of God. Amen? See, when you put that in there, you have a different view. I need this personality so I can better reflect the fullness of God. Then you kind of got to take a deep breath and, okay, try me one more time. What did you mean by that? You know, what did you see? You see what I'm saying? Everybody's looking at me like, oh, my God. Does it make sense? Okay. All right. And so and it should be our marriages. Marriages should be really full of excitement or discovery, you know, maybe discovery, you know, maybe excitement will come later, all right? But it's like, okay, you're figuring these things out. But both of you need to do that, need to understand that. Now, here's one thing I want to end with, and it's as a reminder, children, they come hardwired. My family didn't act like him. Must be your family. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, no, you know, no. And then that's where I always encourage, I told this couple one time, they said, we were getting married, but they didn't want children. And I said, well, I said, you should have at least two. Why? I said, well, God says, you know, multiply, you know, I just think, you know, it's up to you, but I think you should have two. He said, why not just one? I said, well, you need two so they can fight. Right, because you get one, you go, oh, this is the world, it's just like this child. Now get two, and you go, oh my God, what happened? One of them has to be adopted, it was switched to the hospital. It can't be. They can't be out of the same mother and father. You know, you look at, you're just a shock. Okay, what if they come hardwired? And what I've noticed, just another thing, just kind of observation, it's not 100%, but I've noticed a lot of children are like their grandparents. It's like they skip a generation. They're like their grandparents. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know. And I think, well, that's interesting. But you'll find out, and then that you'll see some crazy uncle and say, oh my God, that's just like our son. We need to walk with this kid. Man, he's got the same characteristics as his crazy uncle. They don't just appear out of nothing, all right? I even tell people, this is not a negative. I think it's wonderful when people adopt children. I think you should adopt children. But when you adopt a child, you adopt a DNA and a history and everything, and it comes into your family, and it's not yours, which is just fine, but you need to know it's not yours, okay? Now, you can raise them up, but you need to pay attention to who they are because they're going to reflect the personality of their parents and their grandparents, see? Just need to know that, and it's important. It's not bad. It's just being smarter when you know, when you're doing that, you know what's happening. Now, so what do you want to do when the child comes in? And one thing about saying this, which is funny, you can always prove yourself right. If anybody has at least two children, they know I'm right. You know, because it's just the way it is. Now, What you want to do with children, seeing they're hardwired, they are not blank slates. They are not blank slates. So parents need to take who they are, mold them in their hardwired uniqueness, and teach them how to appreciate the God-given gifts of others. So you see what I'm saying? You take their uniqueness, you take their hardwired presence, and you mold them to love God, love others, you know, and you mold them to behave properly. You don't change their personality. You help mold them, you know, and then also to appreciate people that are different and why they're different. Then they can handle the world better. Amen? So that's a parent's job. That's a parent's job. And it's and so when we look at this, we take advantage of who God made us, but we mold it into who He wants us to be. Amen? Don't change the personality. Appreciate the personality. Amen? Well, here's some verses that don't apply to personalities. They apply to spiritual gifts. However, I think I freely can say that the application can be made. An application can be made here to the different personalities. But look at 1 Corinthians 12. I have this on overhead. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Just think of personalities here, because God has created those also. And it says this: now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. I want a Spirit-filled D. I want a Spirit-filled I. I want a Spirit-filled S. I want a Spirit-filled C. And I want those Spirit-filled personalities to work together and come to be and be able to comprehend the fullness of God. Amen? That's what he's saying. So hallelujah. So here we are. God has made us. God has made us this way. And the more different you are, I could almost say, well, that's great, because there's more information you can learn. Now, again, I'm going to end with this. The get nothing out of order C doesn't browbeat Miss out of order I until she submits to his order. Okay, that's abuse, it's manipulation, that's destructive. And over here, Miss Totally Out of Order doesn't just go off on Mr. In Order, you know, and she doesn't only kick her shoes off on the floor, she throws them at him. All right? No, you don't do that. Loosen up, buddy, okay? Don't talk to me, you know. Nobody likes you anyway. Okay, see? Now, so what you do, it's like, I need to, God's teaching me that I need to see outside of my box, and I need to take some steps outside of my box to enjoy life. See, that's where you come in. She, on the other hand, says, you know, it would be a little help, you know, if I'd pick up something once in a while, you know. It's not that hard, and, you know, and so she makes that move right here, you know. Okay, I need to get some more order in my life. Do you think God wants her to get some more order in her life? Absolutely. See, but you don't say, stop being who you are. Just kind of make some adjustments here. You know, it makes it easy for all of us to get along. And then you work together on getting there. Amen? Hallelujah. I bet y'all think I'm making up some of this stuff. We got some time. I did this marriage counseling one time, and this couple, they'd been in the church a long time. It's way pre-Broadlands. And they had terrible marriage conflict. And Pastor Minner, he said, you need to talk to them. So, all right. You know, and they came in. Oh, my gosh, this is upset. And I didn't know what happened. You know, I just, oh, my God, there's, you know, somebody's doing something. And he said, military guy. He said, can't stand it. I said, well, what's going on? come in. I tell them, and I walk in, and they had four kids. I walk in, and all the shoes are thrown in the corner. All of them just thrown in the corner. I said, okay. And? No, that's it. I said, well, okay, we'll talk, but what else? Nothing else. And I thought he was joking. I mean, I really thought he was joking. So I asked her. I said, what do you think the problem is? She goes, him, and he's not joking about those shoes. I will not be his slave and straighten up those shoes every day. I said, okay, we can talk, what else? No. And I thought the world's going to hell in the handbasket, and they can't. All he wants is his shoes lined up. She's not going to do it. And they're going to get a divorce because the shoes are piled in the corner, you know. And she says, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then they go, now, what do you think we should do? I ain't getting in this. What are you talking about? And it's just like, you got to be kidding me. But what points, we did walk through it. And anyway, it's the truth. That's the honest truth. And they were not joking. These people were upset. And so we tried to walk through this. Pastor Mary said, what's going on? I said, you won't believe this. You will not believe what's happening here. I told him, and he's high. He's the one who throws the shoes in the corner anyway. He goes, you're kidding me. He says, man, I'm going to be careful. I go over his house. I said, you better watch out. See, anyway, but what I'm saying, it's like, what are you talking about? See, but when you're that makeup, we need to learn from one another. Then we need to come and compromise so we can reflect the fullness. Don't browbeat the other person because of their personality, because God made them that way. But we can learn. Amen? Hallelujah. I think we should sing a praise. Come up, pray. I have a closing statement here, and I want to close this so we remember. It says, closing, it says, sin messes up everything. But proper teaching and the baptism of the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to behave in a Christ-like manner, which will exalt the woman and demand leadership by the man, which will model godliness to their children. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand and praise God for how we are made. It is just wonderful.